You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone! Hit well. Deep right. Batista's going to wave goodbye. Start the fireworks show.
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 144. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and in this week's episode, we'll talk about what we did in the last couple months when we haven't been recording podcasts. We'll talk about the Indians considering not being the Indians anymore. We'll talk about Carlos Carrasco playing, Orlando DeShields testing positive for the coronavirus, and another anonymous test that were tested, and all kinds of stuff about the stupid virus that has ruined everything throughout this year. We'll look at maybe what a starting rotation will look like over 60 games, and of course, we'll answer your questions. Joining me for all that and more, as always, is Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
I'm just great, Matt. Looking at pictures of hot dogs on Twitter for some reason. You know, you do what you can.
As one does.
With the time you have and you work.
I was going to ask how you spent the last few months, but apparently you just answered that question for me. It's looking at hot dogs on Twitter.
So one of the great things that has been obviously, you know, the silver lining of just everything is that being able to go to bars and shit taken out. But one of my favorite bars is one here that they have like really cheap hot dogs. They can go and eat a lot of while you drink cheap beer. And I was able to buy a 30 pack of Strohs, but you have to buy food there also. I got like a 30 pack of Strohs for like $25, but then you have to get food. So I just bought a bunch of hot dogs and stood in the middle of the street eating hot dogs for about 5 minutes with a 30 pack of beer that I was going to bring home to my house. But,
well, they probably don't make you buy like multiple hot dogs, do they? No, that was your own little choice there.
Oh, yeah. You have to buy a thing of food. I just chose five hot dogs. I could have chosen anything.
Could have chosen one hot dog.
One hot dog was an option. But no, I wanted some messy time. Actually, I had a couple of chili cheese dogs the other day. I didn't actually want the cheese. But the guy didn't hear me when I just said chili dog. But what are you going to do?
His face and walk away.
You son of a bitch. You've made this too delicious. So to answer your question, I've just been doing a lot of tubed meat action, I guess, is really what I've been doing. Had some bratwurst yesterday. So, you know, how about you?
Hot dog
you?
Related activities. The only thing I've been doing is playing a game called Elite Dangerous. So I've just been flying a spaceship and doing space trucking. And that's been
I've heard of that game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like Star Citizen, but actually finished. And I got a little joystick and everything, and I fly in a little cockpit. It's really cool. That's pretty much all I've done. That and wait for baseball to come back, and it's been not fun. It's been pretty boring, but maybe it's sort of almost back. And then, of course, now when things are starting to happen again, we hear that the Indians, after the Redskins got a lot of pressure from everybody to change their name,
I think it was a group of people worth like $620 billion who wrote a letter to them. You're like, that's too much money. Good Lord. Wow.
Well, and one of them is FedEx, of course, which was somebody on one of the minority owners, I think, is on the board of FedEx or something. There's some connection there. But they all
play at FedEx Field. But yeah, I think one of the minority owners is one of the co-founders of FedEx, actually, is what it was.
Yeah, and of course they don't want their name tied to Redskins, and eventually, like, Nike took all the stuff off the website. It was clear, like, they're going to have to change it. They just need to. And then, obviously, if they have to, the Indians are next on the line there. I think there are others coming down, too, like Braves, Chiefs, and Blackhawks down the road. You can't just ignore them, but the Indians
the Blackhawks? That's such a funny name, though. Damn it.
But the Indians are obviously next in line. And they issued a statement for, I think, this is maybe the first time they've it's a weak corporate acknowledgement, but it's the first time they've acknowledged that the name Indians is not exactly great. They obviously recognize that Chief Wahoo was a problem. But they said about the Indians that we are committed to making a positive impact for our community and embrace our responsibility to advance social justice and equality. Our organization fully recognizes our team name is among the most visible ways in which we connect to the community. They basically went on to say, like, we realize it might not be great. And of course, the weakest corporate way possible, but this is at least something where, obviously, they've been talking about this before. I don't think this just came about because sponsors came after the Redskins. I think that prompted them doing a public statement about it. But it's pretty clear that the name Indians is not going to be around, I don't want to say much longer, because maybe it'll be a year or two more because they're really slow at this. But I don't know. What do you think about this? The Indians might not be the Indians anymore. What do you want them to be? There's a lot of awful suggestions out there.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like, I mean, they got to change. I don't know. I live in D.C., so the Skins thing is always front of mind. The best choice is always to change your logo to a potato. I only like that idea just because it pisses off this one radio host down here so much.
The DC Taters.
Awesome. No, you keep the name. and he's changed the logo to a red skin potato. It's, you know, it's not a good joke. It's stupid, and it pisses off this one dude who's the worst anyway. So it's great. But as to what you turn, you change the Indians to, I don't know. I mean, obviously you go with the Naps, but Naptown is an actual different place, so that's kind of confusing. Like, I know it's a reference, obviously, to Naplajoie. Tribe, I guess, is a pretty milquetoast choice that I don't think they should do.
No, Tribe is like a half step away from Indians. If they're going to do it, exactly, they need to get the whole way away from it.
I think it would be cool, because what are some other things that were big in Cleveland at one point or another? You know, like, why not do something involving shipping? I've always like the bargemen. I think, you know what? There it is. Yeah. I think that they should become, if the Steelers can be the Steelers, I mean, what is Pittsburgh known for other than Antarctic animals, steel, and also piracy? And that's what they named all their teams after. The Indians are known for, I guess, horse bestriding warriors, the color brown, and then of course barges. So I would say they could call them that. They could have a mascot named Sam, who's a donkey, because like there's that one song, 40 miles on the Erie Canal or whatever it is, and the guy's mule is named Sam. So there you go. So that's my idea.
Is it like a law that has to be related to Cleveland? Because I see everybody like wanting all these very specific Cleveland things, but is that a thing that ever?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, there's no Seahawks in Seattle because it's not a real thing.
Well, I think they did C. That was their creative. They just tacked on an animal.
Oh, shut up.
I think that was their whole thing.
There are C Dragons there, the now dead XFL team. That was a pretty creative name. But no, you're right. Like, you know, there's no Grizzlies in Memphis. There's no Lakers in Los Angeles. There's no Lakes in Los Angeles. So you just name anything you want,
was something
I guess.
Tied to LA. I can't remember what it
no,
was.
No, it's because they used to be the Minneapolis Lakers.
Oh, okay, yeah. And well, that doesn't count, that moved then. They used to be.
Correct. Utah Jazz, etc. But they could just name it anything, honestly. They could draw it and just name them the, I don't know, Cats. You know, name the house
Cleveland Cats.
Cleveland Cats.
Cleveland House Cats. Yeah, yeah, the problem fun. Is there's just nothing good, because I think spiders, I'm pro spiders. That's like the biggest argument now, is if you want the spiders, you don't like the spiders. But I don't think it's going to happen just because arachnophobia exists. Like, the fact that fans can be scared off by, I mean, come to our ballpark, we have spiders. It's,
hell yeah.
It's not a great promotion to bring the kids in. But even if it alienates some fans, I don't think they're going to do it, because that's a group of fans that won't come. I don't think spiders. I don't care that the spiders like the old team that sucked, and it's technically not the same franchise and all that. Like, if they want to do it, they could. I just don't think they will, because it's tied to a fear. It's like Cleveland trypophobia.
What could have been good is if they kind of made, I don't know what the fucking arrow was actually, but that being said, all their minor league teams are, again, things that float, right?
Right.
A clipper.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
A rubber duck. Why shouldn't it be something? A scrapper could be a type of boat, probably. Yeah. I don't know. Why not? You know, I mean, what, I don't know. The thing you don't want to do is end up like the Raptors, because they were named after Jurassic Park. so you don't want like something that's like, you know, modern, like current. But I wouldn't want them to go like the boring, just some random animal, like just become the Wildcats or something like that.
Oh gosh, the Wildcats. But there's spiders, not like cool boats either. The Cleveland pontoon boats, the Cleveland dinghies,
the schooners, the Cleveland battleships. That's a pretty good one.
That is a good observation. Everything floats, because the rubber ducks changed from the arrows to, I mean, captains. It's captain of a boat. That's their whole aesthetic. I saw somebody mention they could take the captain's name and have the captains change, because it's, I don't think they'll do that, because that
they could
good,
go with like a, I mean, they could go a weird way and just call themselves the Man O' War, a type of very large ship, and then you're just a single name, as opposed to being a collection of things. You're one thing. Kind of like the Miami Heat. They're more of an idea, I suppose. Let's see. Let me Google types of boats. I was already doing that.
There's nothing good. There's a Panamax is a type of boat. That's a big
boat. Oh, that's a huge boat. Yeah.
The only one, so it seems like a joke, but I am unironically 100% for Cleveland Owlbears. There's a guy on Twitter he's already designed everything for it. He's got a logo. He's had a Twitter account for years. It is by far my favorite. The owl bear is basically exactly what it sounds like. It's a D&D creature.
D&D. I know. Yeah,
it's a mixture of an owl and a bear.
Yeah.
On the owl bear website, where you can buy t-shirts, there's a picture of it. It's fucking sweet looking.
You know what? I wouldn't be too. I mean, again, I just said we shouldn't do the thing like what the Raptors did, but because D&D is big now. But at the same time, true. Why the fuck not? It's a thing that doesn't exist. it's,
I mean, Raptors is still cool, even though Jurassic Park is kind of faded. It's not.
Well, and you're right. Anymore. It's just it doesn't make any goddamn sense why there's team. But at the same time, why not? Why can't the Indians become just the Cleveland Tyrannosaurus Rexes, or again the Owl Bears? You know, like, yeah, go weird with that. I don't think I think it's unfair, quite honestly, that minor league teams get to have weird, crazy names, right? Like the Baby Cakes or the Iron Pigs or the Hop Monsters or the Sasquatch or the Chupacabras or the Biscuits or any of that stuff, right? What the fuck? I think the problem is
you don't want to be the major league team with the one goofy name, though, because then it's going to kind of stick out. Yeah. Just nothing with guitars or rock and roll. That's all I want.
Yeah,
I don't,
for Christ's sake, let's not do that.
I saw who was it?
That idea. Peter Gormans, there's always one that
unironically suggested the Cleveland wonderful. Guitars. I don't mind Defenders, but it sounds too XFL-y because it was an XFL team. Yeah,
correct.
Guardians, of course, because that's a big thing in Cleveland. But
Guardians, that's what it was. Yeah. Guardians, the bridge thing. That one, it's just too bland. Again, it's yeah. If you're gonna do something memorable, right? Don't just cast yourself into the fire for Owlbears. You know what? There it is. Official choice of the Let's Talk Tribe is Owlbears. Actually,
I'm gonna rally around the Owlbears. That's what I'm gonna
do. I'm building a small hill, and I will die upon this hill. It'll be nice.
All right, Matt. It's a weird time because I want to get excited about baseball, but also I don't know.
it's already hard. Yeah.
It's around, like, what was it? 1.5% of players have tested positive already, which is like below the national average, but this is also before they're mixing together and touching the same baseballs and within 6 feet of each other. So it's probably going to go up. There was already, I think it was 4 anonymous Indians players tested positive for the coronavirus between before the season started, and Delino DeShields tested positive after camp started. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's too optimistic to play. Carlos Carrasco is going to play, which I thought was it's a different choice because he had leukemia last year. He's considered high risk because of that. But he's all ready for it. He has his mask on. They're doing special precautions for him. I saw that he's going to have like his own locker area. So, I mean, it's cool. He wants to play. I imagine after missing so much time last year, nothing is going to stop him from playing this year. But already a bunch of players have opted out. David Price, Ian Desmond, Felix Hernandez. And then today, Brad Mills, he opted out. I think his main reason, though, was to be with his family because, obviously, in February, his 18th month old grandson drowned in a pool accident. Of course, he's high risk, too, being 63 years old, but it's just a rough time for him all around. So he opted out of the season. I think he's the only Indian staff or player so far. But I don't know. Are you optimistic about the season actually happening this year, or does it seem like it's getting worse and worse? It seems like some players are either on the fence or they're on the side of it's not going to happen. This is a disaster.
And this is going to sound weird because it seems like the NBA has a firmer grasp of what the hell they're doing than the MLB does. But I honestly think baseball has a better shot of pulling this off than the NBA does for two main reasons. You get to, there's more space that you can spread out in when it comes to baseball. It's easier to not, I guess, be close to people. And two, you're not doing everything in fucking Florida. I'm sorry to all my listeners down in Florida, but it's a hellscape down there right now. And I think having everyone in a little bubble that is permeable is a bad idea. So I think they have a better shot of pulling it off than maybe some of the other sports leagues. It would be smart to me, I would think, to look at, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I think England is doing a great job in managing the pandemic themselves, but I mean, the Premier League seems to be going off okay. I read somewhere that it takes, you figure between the 22 guys on the actual field, plus everyone else, it's like 150 people is what it takes to put on a Premier League game. I would assume the number's probably around that for a baseball game as well. The travel thing is hard, but they did kind of negate that a little bit by making the geographical regions some. This country is just so goddamn big is the problem. So I'm cautiously optimistic to answer your question directly. I think that there's a better chance with this than maybe with the other leagues. I don't know. Like, I was reading today that what team is that? The Milwaukee Bucks have just, they completely shut down everything next week because an unnamed player tested positive, which I'm 90% sure is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's bad news right there. But, I don't know. It's definitely not a great idea. It's probably not something we should be pushing for. And once it gets going, and maybe this is me reading the situation wrong in England too, it's like, once that got going, it was going to be hard to put the brakes back on. You know what I mean? Like, this is a thing that's going to drive some profit, and they don't want to stop once they get started again, because when are they going to get started again at that point? So I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess, because that's just how I approach anything. But I think there's a better chance of pulling it off than maybe some other plays. It's you read some of the things they're doing, and it all kind of sounds like a total thrown together mess in Hathaway's, like where they won't be able to say if a player tests positive, he'll just disappear for 2 weeks. You're like, wait, what's going on here? I mean, and
mysterious
like,
illness for exactly 2 weeks, yeah. And he's on this IL. Yeah,
but like, I was talking about this with my brother yesterday. Like, Mike Trout's about to have a kid. Garrett Cole just had a kid, or is about to have a kid, or something. And then there's a third guy who's like the third best overall player in baseball who is in the process of having a child soon or something like that. And like, if you miss 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that is the equivalent to missing 2 months of baseball at this point. And like, that's just a huge hole to, I don't know, that's going to make it very tough to watch those top flight. But
yeah, and it's even hard, like with all that, it's when, if the season actually goes through and it's finished and there's a champion, it's going to be hard not to see the champion as some kind of like asterisk next to it. It's going to be such a weird, it's a gimmick season, yeah. One way or the other, either. It plays out. It's still only 60 games, but there's going to be players on teams that are going to drop out randomly. Mm. And if the Indians snap their World Series streak, obviously it's exciting, but this doesn't seem like the right way to do it. I would rather it have happened in 2016 or even happen next year or the year after, but like to have that happen this year would just be weird for so many reasons.
I mean, I agree with you in part, but at the same time, like 60 games, things shake out, basically. Like, yeah, you might have the wrong wild card put team in, quote unquote. But I think the cream will rise to the top in this situation. You know, players get hurt anyway. It's just, there's just this extra thing added on the top of it. So you're right. There's 0% chance that referring to the 2020 season will be anything but have an informal asterisk just in the way you talk, basically. But I don't know. I don't think it so much makes it wrong or, you know, a fake season or anything like that, because the playoffs are still going to be the same setup, you know, like good teams will get there and then it's still going to be 5-7-7.
But I mean, even then, somebody can get it and have to drop out for 2 weeks then. Even
and that's true. Yeah. And that's a huge blow there. Like you want, I mean, you know, the big worries are like, are they going to bluff? Are they going to cover things up and things like that? I don't know. Maybe not, but
I don't know. You can. I think the temperature checks probably aren't from the team, right? If they are, that's a terrible oversight. But I would hope it's like a third party. Because you know somebody would lie about that. Yes. And what you were saying earlier about the bubble with NBA, I agree. That seems weird. It seems backwards to put everybody in one closed space, especially with a bunch of 20-year-olds with way too much money. They're going to go out and do things. They're not only sitting around like, Disney World.
The people who work in Disney World also who aren't on the teams, they're still going to go in and out of the facilities. You know, the people working in the hotels and things like that. And, you know, they live in Florida, which is, they set another amazing record this week. So, you know, it's like, cool. Like, why are
we? And I just don't know if baseball is better off, like, because you're still going to be close to people. You can't avoid it. You're going to be touching the same stuff. You're going to be breathing all over the place. And you can try all you want. People are going to spit and there's going to be stuff everywhere. I don't know if it's any, I guess basketball is different because you're right there, but. I mean, if one person has it in the baseball game and they go out, they're probably going to give it to a lot of people. I think there's no way.
Oh, and you're probably. And I was thinking too with the playoffs. I mean, maybe with that they could. Once you start narrowing it down, you could just play in the entire series on a neutral field or something like that. You know, just to help negate problems. Doing a dome too, so weather's not a problem. Just find a place that's relatively, you know, low count and put everyone there, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. It's weird that they're going to be flying not across the country, but all over the region and just doing this. And, but I don't know. I think it'll be okay. I think we're definitely going to see some really shitty situations in terms of like X or Y player testing positives being gone for 2 weeks. And like, it'll one team season is going to be tanked for that exact reason. And it just makes it a weird, like you said, it just makes it a weird era, a weird time and a very unique moment, which, you know, we don't want.
And I think the most depressing visual of it all so far has been like Mike Trout, his wife, like you said, she's pregnant, and he went, I think he was just talking to the media, so that he's worried about the season. He doesn't know how well it's going to go. He's worried about obviously getting into the virus and taking it back to his pregnant wife. And then like it cuts to footage of him working out with a mask and his teammates don't have masks on. Like, god damn it, come on. The best player in baseball just said he's worried, and you can't just put a mask on when you're around him.
Well, and then his own manager, Joe Maddon, just like, if you want to see, like, you obviously just don't care. I'm like, you fucking asshole.
Remember when people liked Joe Maddon? That was a weird time, wasn't it?
I never got that's him, taking but, a know. Turn. But yeah, it's I think it'll be. I don't know. I'd like to think it'll be okay. It probably won't be, but it makes it something to watch for. You know, it adds an extra weird wrinkle to the whole season. And hey, it's something we get to write about too. I'm going to avoid writing about it personally. But again, it's the backdrop of the entire season, so it's going to color everything we talk about, say, write, or do when it comes to baseball in the next.
Now, if we want to pretend like this is all going to go well for 60 games and there's going to be a season, there is at least the Indians have things to talk about because, I mean, it's basically the same conversation we were having before season was going to start, is their rotation is...
Nothing changes.
I mean, right, their rotation is still the same. Carrasco's going to pitch. Although it's a little better now because Clevinger's healthy. He was going to be...
Yeah.
He's back. Wasn't Carrasco injured too? It seemed like so long ago now.
I think both of them were. I feel there's a vague memory of him being hurt in some way.
I remember in the before time, there was news about Carlos Carrasco.
Again, he'd had leukemia the year before, right, so yeah. We were all like, oh, it was
but
okay.
I thought he tweaked something. I know Clevinger did, but I thought he did too. But.
Yeah, because Clevinger hurt his knee. Carrasco's something. Back. Bieber was fine. Why the hell? So I happen to be on the Indians website right now, looking just at their depth chart. And can you help me with something here, Matt? Why is the rotation listed here? It's Clevinger, Bieber, Carrasco, and then Plutko and Jeffrey Rodriguez. I don't even see either of, unless I'm just missing them, the two pitchers I'm actually excited to see, Zach Plesac and especially Aaron Civale, anywhere on this list. Are we just supposed to expect them to not break camp with the big club? That's absurd to me. I know I'm kind of waylaying the conversation here, but I just noticed this just now, and I'm like, what the fuck? So, yeah.
I think there's a decent chance Plutko is number five, depressingly. Like, it's either he's going to beat out Savali or Plesac. But, I mean, there's no way Jeffrey Rodriguez is in the rotation. I don't know. No, maybe they go by – did he have more innings than Plesac and Savali last year? Maybe it's just, like, a default thing they do.
It could – I mean, again, it could just be that I'm just dealing with like, a formatting issue here they have here. But, like, they're not even listed on the – they're 100% better than both those guys. And
– yeah, I'd imagine they have to be.
Zach Plesac had the fourth most innings pitched of any Indians pitcher.
Oh, I don't. I mean, they're not here at all, so it's got to be something. Like, it's just they're not listed for some reason. Maybe he was on a list. I'm sure it's a mess madness. Before the season. They don't know the depth chart. It's just some intern back there messing with the controls, doesn't know where to put people.
Don't these sons of guns know we need these things to talk about stuff? Jerks.
Do not realize it's the middle of July. We still don't know anything to talk about with baseball. Get on it. But yeah, I don't know. The rotation is still going to be good. A six man, is that an option? Is it better or worse to have a bigger rotation in a 60 game season? Because I don't think you want to push players. You could push them on a four man rotation, but then it's not worth to blow them out for the next couple seasons. But I don't know. It's a sprint, so you want to get your guys in as much as possible.
Right,
but
exactly. Because right now, obviously, if you have five guys, you'd get, 12 starts out of each one of them?
Yeah.
If all five made, their series of starts, right? 12, 24.
That's some good math, man.
Thanks, man.
That's way easier than 162. Wow, I just realized that.
Yeah, I know.
Doing the math is going to be so easy this year.
I know. Everything's so divisible. It's not some stupid number. It's only divisible by two somehow, and I don't know. I think for winning, the best move might be to go with the four-man rotation with just slotting guys into guys' day. You know what I mean? I think the idea would be to try and get Shane Bieber 15 starts, like somewhere between 13 and 15 starts, Clevinger between 12 and 15, Carrasco between 13 and 15, and then kind of start filling it in from there. Like, you know, just skip guys every now and again, you know what I mean? Because like you said, it is a sprint, and as much as has happened in the world since we last talked about this, the Indians still have the same problems somehow. No outfield and a questionable outfield, which it's been shored up some, but we're worried about the bullpen a little bit, but the strength is still in that rotation. So like I said, I think it would make sense. Because let's do a little more quick math here, huh, Matt? How's that sound? Let's see. Let's say we got – hey, I got a calculator right in front of me. It's great. Let's say we got 14 starts out of Bieber and then another 13 out of Clevenger, and then another 13 out of what's his name, Carrasco, which I think is a little bold, honestly. He only started 12-0 last year, and he wasn't effective due to, you know, leukemia. That's 60. That's 20 more games that you have to spread out among three or four of the guys. Which I think if you gave, I mean, my ideal would be Plezak and then Savale get 10 each, and then you could just start, you know, picking and choosing where you drop in a Plutko or a Rodriguez or whoever, you know. I think that would be the ideal move, because like I said, I think the best move is to get your starters, the good ones, as many starts as possible. The Twins are lacking in some of those positions still, so I think it would be good there. And I think something like a season like this probably benefits a team like the Indians a bit more, just because of the pitchers. If a pitcher is good, they're just consistently good for a while, as long as they don't have some sort of like slow start. Whereas a team like the Twins, who, you know, the Bomba squad just beat the shit out of everybody hitting a million home runs, but like hot and cold streaks can happen. And like if Nelson Cruz has a 4-week stretch where he's just kind of hitting like crap, and he does have those, you know what I mean? And then Eddie Rosario just isn't, you know, he has a stomach ache or something. Or Jorge Polanco just isn't, you know, feeling it right now. These are where the Indians kind of having a consistent flow of solid pitching every day can overcome the powerful parts, I suppose, of the teams like the Twins, you know? So I don't know. That's an optimistic way of looking at it. But
yeah, I mean, as always, a good rotation will help you even out a lot of things. I think even more in a short season. Like if you have that, you can fill in a lot of holes with a good pitching rotation.
Yeah. I already know they signed. Oh my God, that's right. They got Josh Donaldson. God damn it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Remember, before all this, we were mad at the other teams actually trying in free agency. Remember that fun thing?
Oh yeah, shoot. I didn't have.
The Indians got a top 10 second baseman, and that was it.
Oh yeah, that's right. So the Twins, Barrios, Odorizzi, Kenta Maeda. That's right, they got Kenta Maeda. Homer Bailey is a rebuild project. Randy Dobnak, Devin Smeltzer, Rich Hill, and Michael Pineda. Yeah, no, that's way worse than the Indians rotation. All in all, I would think.
Yeah, pitching is not their strength, but
no, definitely not. Their bullpen is great, but you know, it's again that could be a place where they make a lot of hay. It's just they have all those young power arms, which would be beneficial to them, especially on a team that, because now you can have the 30 people on the team, so they can have a million relief pitchers. But are they doing the three batter minimum thing? Right, that is happening this year, right?
I would think, yeah, it was going to go into effect. I don't know why I wouldn't.
Okay,
added the universal DH and the runner on second extra innings, which is dumb. Oh,
that's right. That is happening. God damn it. But that benefits the Twins because, again, they do have a lot of good young arms in their system that they could kind of just churn through, which will make scoring on them harder. And, you know, again, they'll hit a couple home runs and they can win a game. But the Indians need that evening factor of their rotation. So, I don't know. That's kind of how I would run it, is try and get 40 starts out of the top three and then fill in the rest as you can. If you can have up to 45 starts in the top three, again, that's 15 starts a person. That's a lot in just a third of a season. That's... damn, that'd be a lot of starts, actually, in a full season. Jesus Christ. Man, that'd be like a 280-inning season. Jesus Christ.
Totally fine. Old Ross Hosperman can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. Yeah.
So every Sunday, we ask everybody on Facebook and Twitter for their questions. I mean, we haven't for a while, but most Sundays, we ask everybody for their questions.
During baseball time.
Yeah, right. When is baseball actually happening? First one we'll go with is Frank Kobyluk. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Kobyluk. On Facebook, he wants to know, how will key prospects like Nolan Jones, Tristan McKenzie, etc. get development this season with no minor league baseball? Will it ultimately delay call-ups, maybe winter ball? I don't know. I picked this one because I think it's something interesting to think about, because it's pretty much unprecedented, right? Like, there's no minor league to develop. I don't think winter ball is going to happen. I don't think there's any reason for it to happen. It's risky enough doing it for the majors. I don't know why they do it for minor leagues, but... I mean, as far as development, all those guys, the top guys, are with the 60-man roster for that reason. Like, they're not going to be in the majors. I think Nolan Jones probably could be. Maybe Tristan McKenzie could be if they really wanted him to. But I think they're there for the Indians to keep tabs on him and keep developing him. But they can do all the sim games they want. It's never the same as even being in a AAA or AA game. But I don't know. I don't think we'll see the impact right away. We'll see a couple years down the line, like how these guys did without a year of development in the minors. I think Nolan Jones was close enough where it won't make a huge difference, but his big thing is going to work on strikeouts. which of course getting more AAA at bats would help a lot with that, but hopefully that's something you can work on just in this weird 60 roster camp that he's in. Tristan McKenzie, I mean, he just has to pitch and be healthy. I don't think you need necessarily to be doing that in games, be just pitching anywhere and not falling apart is his big thing right now, because he hasn't pitched in a long time, I don't think. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you have any insight into it of how,
I mean, I'm just,
how this whole thing's going to work?
I mean, I don't know what your Twitter feed looks like these days at this point, the people you follow, but mine's a nice blend of weird Twitter bullshit and then also just like stuff from Driveline, things of that nature. So, you know.
That's basically what it is. It's a post-apocalyptic destruction and Driveline baseball.
Yeah, going pretty good. But new facility, huh? Very pretty.
Just ignore the fire and everything around it. No, look at that. Spin rate. Cool. That's good.
But the reason I say that is there's so much, I mean, whether organizationally or just of their own free will, there's so much opportunity out there for young players to take advantage of this time to do things. And I think the people who obviously will suffer greater from this would be the ones that weren't high draft picks, or the ones that would have been fringe guys who needed a strong organizational structure and all the bonuses that come along with that to help them improve. Like you mentioned, Nolan Jones, and a first round pick's probably gonna be fine. They got $1 million or whatever, you know. Probably any of the guys who got drafted, honestly, this year, and just in terms of raw money, being able to pay for it themselves. But I wonder, too, if this is going to be a great test on the organizations that have a great, like, holistic approach to their prospect. You know, we think that every single prospect that gets drafted is, you know, coddled and given direction and shaped and every step of the way, when really that isn't the case for the longest time for the vast majority of organizations. That's shifted so much in the last 10 or 15 years, but the Indians, I always kind of got the gist that they were right there on that like cutting edge of development. And we've seen them produce, you know, if not solid major leaguers, then superstars from time to time out of nowhere with the pitchers, obviously. I think it was Zach Plesac, and maybe it just wasn't, or maybe someone he retweeted or something like that, but he just tweeted out someone I saw a couple weeks ago, like after the minor league baseball season got canceled officially. It was like, starting now, you could go through whatever they call it, like two or three strength and velocity cycles between now and next spring for a young pitcher. So basically, they could add some more velo, more strength, and things like that, and use this as an opportunity to build on your own and, you know, add a couple ticks on the fastball. Work on the spin rate on your slider, what have you, and turn into a new pitcher for next year. So I guess that's a long way of saying, if I think the organizational bones are there to provide this for the players that are already there, it'll definitely pay dividends. Just because so much of what you want to, that you need to do to become a better baseball player isn't always playing the game so much. It's doing the work to build yourself into a better, you know, into a better major league, whether it's in the weight room or in the, or studying your swing, or I know you mentioned Nolan Jones wanting to work on not striking out as much. I don't know how you do that outside of playing, but surely there's things you can do to work on your eye and in the cage and that, and eventually you'll get back to game speed. So
yeah, they're going to like simulated games against themselves and stuff, I think. So,
but
yeah,
I think,
like you said, it's the fringe guys and the guys who can't afford to just build a mound out of nowhere and practice.
Right. Trouble, exactly. Think, yeah. So and that's exactly like the young kids who. Again, people who have had the 13th round draft picks from years past and things like that. So I don't know. I think it'll certainly be a test. It does suck, and it's definitely going to, I think, have a long term impact on the smaller team, the Indians. Your Indians, your Pirates, your others. I don't know. What are some other small market teams, etc. So it'll definitely impact them more if they haven't been at least, you know, spending the little. Spending their limited funds in the right way for that organizational kind of stability. That, like, I think the Royals are going to be just fine. I think they're going to come out of this on the other side quite strong, because they have such a focus on their farm system and they're very holistic about it. But not having that viewpoint from, you know, the cradle to grave kind of view of it all, that is the right way to do it, will definitely not be a good thing for many organizations.
Yep. Next one, Ryan Lynch on Facebook. He asked, if the Indians do change their name, how long would it take before people don't care that a change happened anymore? I don't think it's that long.
What a stupid question. People will always care.
Well, they will, but they'll be drowned out eventually. I think I still don't get why they just didn't change the name when they did Chief Wahoo. Like, they made this into a 3-year ordeal when it could have been done within like a year. Like, even the Wahoo stuff, people are still mad, but nobody, like, the majority of people just tell him to shut up now. Who cares? He's gone. Get over it. But I mean, as long as they were called the Indians, people were still going to dress up and be idiots and come to the stadium like that. But if they change the name, people will still do it for a little while. But after a while, they'll just get tired of it. Either they'll stop rooting because they're tied to a fake name and cartoon and they'll stop being fans, or they'll hopefully grow up eventually when they're the Spiders or the Owl Bears or whatever. But I don't think it would take that long. I think people would, they'd get pissy about it. Some would stop being fans and then come back after a year when they realize it was stupid to not watch baseball. Some will just stop watching, but who cares? And then a lot of people just will root for the team that's in Cleveland, which is what they've been doing all along. I think it's going to be unfortunate if they change the name and Francisco Lindor leaves in the same offseason. That's going to be a rough one to
sell.
That's going to be a little downturn there. But so I don't know how they're going to time all that. That's going to be rough, but it's going to happen. I don't think it'll be quite as long. Maybe that'll help hide the fact they changed their name. It's, we can be mad about Francisco Lindor, not the people that are mad about them not being an insensitive name anymore. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be quite that long. I think people are exaggerating how big of a deal it's going to be.
I mean, I agree with you in a sense. I think that, like you said, they should have done it, torn the Band-Aid off. You know, it's like, so I think some of the, you know, obviously across the country, people are taking down statues of Confederate generals and leaders and things like that across the country. And some of that, I think the smartest moves have been the ones that just took it down overnight and didn't tell anyone. And like the city was just like, we got to get this shit out of here. Just doing it without telling anyone you're going to do it. And then it's your classic, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. Like you said, them dragging it out over the last however many years, I think they should have just stopped doing it. Said, we're changing the name. It's this now. And people would have complained for 6 weeks, but you figure they would have come out with something bland and focus grouped, and then it would have evolved into something better down the line. Yeah. But
I think it probably would have been easier to sell if they made it look like it was them doing it. Like, now it's very clear, like, it's either Major League Baseball or the pressure from outside forces making them do it. But like, these people who are going to be upset about it, I think they'd be less upset if the Indians just were doing it under their own volition. But all these people are going to be like, it's
these damn SJWs and whatnot.
This PC culture is ruining my baseball. Right. It's going to be the Indians have opened it up to that by waiting so long to do it.
This will create more. That's why I said I don't think it'll ever, you know, go away, the complaining about it, just because they took so long and now it's happening now, that people who don't actually care about baseball or care about baseball in a very tertiary manner in comparison to the name of the team are going to complain to their last breath. Like, they're just going to...
Oh, the Indians Facebook group is going to be lit the whole time.
Oh, man, there's going to be sparkly wahoos for just miles. Just
a sea of sparkly wahoos.
Dude, oh, man, it's going
to
be...
The place has been good the last couple days, man. I can't wait till they actually change the name. It's going to burn to the ground. I think they stopped moderating it altogether. Never was there a more
wretched hive of scum and villainy. Man.
I wonder how much Major League Baseball regrets that whole initiative, because they made one for every team, and I'm sure every one is just an absolute dumpster.
They're horrible. Oh, no. I mean, the Facebook turned into a hellscape.
Major League Baseball made all these and then just left them completely unattended.
Have fun. It's all just a science experiment to see how unmoderated morons... No, they're great people.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think this, you're right. People will get over it pretty quickly, especially if they do something cool. Like, we're all suckers. Also, the American person, the American individual is surprisingly bird-brained in terms of how long their attention span is. I realized it about myself not too long ago. Like, I just forget if a shit happened. And then I read a news article, like, oh yeah, that happened 2 weeks ago. Damn. I thought that was a year and a half or never happened at all. So few people outside of Northern Ohio will probably care anyway. It'll just happen. I mean, if I'm being honest, you know, the Indians are not exactly the marquee franchise in Major League Baseball anyway. So, I mean, I will make fun of a team like the Angels or the Mariners, but I'm willing to bet that baseball fans in Southern California think about the Cleveland Indians as much as I do about the San Diego Padres. You know what I mean? Literally, I forget they exist sometimes. So.
Now, I want to dovetail this into what will be our last question from Denny O'Grady 1. He asks, here he says, I'm sorry, Denny, but I absolutely hate this. He says, call them the Cleveland Sliders. Big fan from Des Moines, Iowa. Well, Denny, thank you for the question, but good Lord. I hate, first of all, that he put this idea in my head, and I hate that it sounds realistic. like it sounds like a focus groupy thing. Like, we have Slider. The kids love Slider. Why aren't we just the Sliders? And then they make their whole thing built around this god-awful mascot. It sounds like something that could happen, and I absolutely hate it. I think it's going to be the biggest thing is that it's just going to be some corporate boardroom garbage, and Slider is the ultimate. Like, watered down, it doesn't scare anybody. It's perfect for the kids. They love Slider, even though nobody likes Slider. But did it seems like the kind of thing that would happen. And sorry, Danny, but I hope that doesn't happen.
Did I write that article about how much I hated Slider for Let's Go Tribe, or was that at Wahoo's on First?
If you haven't, you should write it again, because he's the worst.
I've always thought he sucked. And I just remember reading the comments, he was like, dude, it's for kids. And I'm like, fuck you.
You can have things that aren't garbage for kids. That went out the window a long time ago. You can have good Slider. Gritty is for kids. The kids love Gritty. I love Gritty. You
know, I just watched all of Avatar The Last Airbender, ostensibly for kids. Guess what I like? That show. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, the whole notion that kids only like garbage is, I mean, they like a lot of garbage. Don't get me wrong.
Kids are morons, and they're easy to trick. And
but so we can also trick them with good things and not just garbage.
Right, exactly. Yeah, why can't we trick them with good garbage? Like,
right.
Why can't they be the Cleveland garbage men, for that matter? You know what? Being a sanitation worker is a noble job. We've been taught recently to.
They used to be in municipal stadium, so.
I mean, you know what? Municipal Waste is a great metal band that my brother likes. So that's another thing. I think that's a good one. You know what? The Cleveland sanitation worker.
Love it.
Just hang a lampshade on that bed. They already garbage men.
They got the dumpsters already in the outfield.
Oh my God! They already have the dumpsters in the outfield. This is perfect.
They're halfway there. They've been slowly dripping it in for us. They turned off the light for the Indian sign, so it looks like garbage. So they're slowly bringing us into the idea.
Is that why that those photos were on Twitter? Oh, okay, that makes more sense. I couldn't figure out. Every time they show those,
like, God, that looks awful. It does. They're like showing off. Like, can't wait to see Progressive Field, and it's the sign without the light. It just looks god awful. Just don't do that.
I know. I like this garbage man idea though, because then you could also get built in sponsorships, whether it's with green energy people, with waste management companies. I mean, we're leaving money on the table here, Matt.
You could build like a giant animatronic like garbage can flipper. Like in the outfield, every time there's a home run, it just flips a bunch of garbage into the bleachers.
The mascot could literally be a man made of garbage. Oh, man.
Or that, I love it. Or that recycling man from The Office that Dwight dressed up as. That could be the mascot.
Or, I mean, you have a version of Bernie Brewer, except he's just a guy. This is the stupidest idea on earth, but instead of going down a slide every time someone hits a home run, he just throws a bunch more trash into a dumpster. And that's their success. They're superb, spectacular. Oh, man.
He doesn't act happy or excited about it. He just throws away some garbage and puts the lid on and sits back down.
Exactly. That's all he does. He could have a tiny, the bullpen car could be a little garbage truck. Listen, I'll be honest with you. When I was a little
kid. This is now my favorite idea.
The thing that I wanted more than anything else for Christmas was a small model, fully working garbage dump. I mean, I've always been fascinated by dumps. So I don't know.
I actually lived near one when I grew up. It was pretty cool. It was just a big mountain. I watched it get bigger. Like when I was little, it was really short, and now it's tall. It's just a big old pile of garbage, like a mile away from where I grew up.
That's pretty good. See?
It's a landfill and a dump, but yeah.
You know, it's all the same thing.
I mean, it's basically, it's your holy land. You got to make a pilgrimage there. It's huge.
I got to go to the big dump in the sky.
On that note, Maren, that's it for our podcast this week.
Strong one.
Thanks for coming back and talking again.
You know what, man? I gotta tell you, I've done a couple of those radio spots for Northern Ohio Radio over the last couple of months, and I'm like, I miss doing this stupid garbage.
Well, there you go. We did another stupid garbage, and we'll do another one next week and the week after that, and until
forever and ever.
The death of the universe.
I'm gonna have to start writing about baseball again. So, you know, I mean,
we'll get there. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, we'll knock the rust off. Yeah, we'll see where we go.
Talk to you next week, Barrett.
I'll see you later.